Hi everyone, and welcome to the Curve Mindset podcast with McGinley Coaching. I am your founder and host, Laurie McGinley. Today we're joined by João Carlos Pereira. How are you, João?
All good, and you?
Oh, I'm good, thank you. Can you just tell the listeners a wee bit of background about yourself?
Well, I was a football player, a professional football player for some years. Unfortunately, my career did not go as I planned at that time. I had some injuries that made me rethink my career. So I went back to the university while still playing, but as an amateur in the end. Well, and then when I finished my studies, I had a plan to stop playing. This is what I did. Well, destiny took me to coaching. It's not something that I was wanting to do. I even believe that at that time I would not see myself doing it, because you know it takes quite a particular mindset, certain type of leadership, and I thought I wouldn't have it. But here I am after almost three decades after, and this is mostly how it was my football adventure. And then when coaching, I started in lower leagues. I came up and my debut in the first league in Portugal was, I was 38, I suppose. And after that, I've been in having the possibility to have amazing experiences abroad and also in Portugal, obviously. And I had also, for me, one very important adventure in Qatar, which it was really interesting because it helped me to, from the tactical and technical perspective, it helped me to grow a lot. Because, you know, when you are in competition, you just focus on winning the next match. And it's a very stressful situation. And in Qatar, I was a little bit detached from competition, focusing on a project, on the process. And I started to have a new perspective of the business and the métier. And finally, I think this helped me to grow a lot in terms of capacity, knowledge, being ready to be back to professional game again.
Well, we'll talk about Qatar, and it was the Aspire Academy. We obviously talked a couple of weeks ago about the kind of role you had there, but it must have been very full on, very every day is a new day, but it's also learning how to delegate, how to work with younger athletes. But this is the Aspire is the best academy in Qatar. How do you try to develop the players to be better every day, but also the coaching staff and yourself through that kind of mindset of being that 1% better?
Look, I think our development is an ongoing job. Every day we meet someone new, or a new context, or a new environment. All these kind of things will have an impact in our journey. And obviously, in such an amazing learning environment, a particular culture, this had something different. It's like a melting pot, you know, lots of influences from all over the world, coaches coming from every corner of the world, of the globe. And in the end, discussions, conversations, we had a lot of meetings, mentorings, and these kind of things help you, not only pushes you to the next step and to give continuity to our daily routines, but also makes you eager to look for more information, for more knowledge, and to share it with everybody.
And from that information, because you talk about daily routines, that must have been really, as the kind of main person who dealt with a lot of the kind of the players and the staff, you must have had to deal with some difficult situations sometimes, also some really good situations. So how did you deal with more difficult situations, like maybe player selection, or maybe to do with finance, or to do with coaching, but also a success story? Because there's also going to be, for every bad story, there's also a lot of good things that have happened. I'm just wondering how you dealt with keeping calm, or how to deal with situations at a high profile kind of level, from a kind of academy level.
Well, the challenges were quite a few, as you can imagine. The culture, but mostly the I had to adjust and to adapt to a new role, to a new situation in my professional career. It's not so easy to change your mindset from a professional mode, delivering or having to deliver every weekend, to a long-term project where what is expected from you is to have to develop a plan or a program and go with it and take everything through, even if you have lots of challenges. So working with other people, having to be not only so pragmatic on a daily basis, but also to go into planning. But the most of them was the training sessions, the relationship with the players, dealing with the weather. Because, you know, when you train twice a day sometimes, or most of the times, in such weather conditions with 40-something degrees, very hot, you don't have intensity in your training sessions, or it's difficult to bring the intensity of the training sessions higher. Also, you have to deal with different type of players. I was working with professional players at a senior level, and suddenly you have to train teenagers, aspiring football players, but still teenagers with their hormones in a completely different situation, having to deal with the culture, with the religion, with all these kind of things, forces you to adjust and to adapt, and sometimes it's not so easy.
Yeah, because that's we talk about management and coaching, and it's all about every day you need to learn. You say you're a lifelong learner, but you need to adapt sometimes with the, maybe like when I was at a camp, like a football camp, when I played, it was too hot during the day, so we got up, we were on the pitch at 7 o'clock in the morning, and then it's 7 o'clock at night. But that's because we during the day it was too hot to train, but we still made things happen and adapted. But that comes from planning, that comes from organisation. And see, when it comes to when you're working at a youth academy, you know, a very prestigious one, but then going back to first team level, you know, to that kind of results business, you know, you must have thought this is going to be, you need to adapt to, again, changing your mindset from development to winning. Is that something that came natural to you, or is it, did you have to learn how to just work at a higher level again, just to make sure that you know that there's a results business?
Look, it was not so difficult because in the end I've been there.
Yeah.
I grew as a coach there. I never before the experience in Aspire, I was working. Well, I've been working until then only with professional football players at the senior level. So it was not so difficult for me to adapt, because when you work in such an environment like Aspire, you really very quick you see that even though you are in a project, you still have to deliver. There's a lot of pressure to perform well, because in the end you are being assessed also, because this is it's a huge structure that makes sure that you deliver. We had the goals to set and to reach. We had KPIs to help us understand and to follow our performances or our daily work or achievements. So it was not so difficult, because in the instance, the nature of the game itself, yes, but also of the job, it's leading someone in order they achieve their goals in a very consistent way, in a highly demanded environment. In this case, it was professional football. But it was more difficult the other way around, because you deal with teenagers that mostly they have everything they need. They are their lives, their families, they are quite settled. They have the resources they need to have a very comfortable, easy life. And to take players out of their comfort zone in order they learn and they go to another level, it's not so simple. Look, players can only, they will be willing to put a lot of effort if or when their goals match our own goals. So it's not so easy to convince a boy or to seduce a boy to work under 40-something degrees and taking them out of their comfort zone if they could be at home relaxed in a very cool room with a TV or playing games or whatever. It's not so easy at all.
Yeah, because that's the interesting part of the youth development. You know, you have to help develop them first, the person, then the player. But when it comes to kind of first team level, you've always had to deal with youth players, you know, younger players getting into the kind of first team. But I'm just going to see how your, what was your kind of philosophy? Is it a very, because I read that you like to play aggressive football, you know, and really try and make things happen, everything has to be like winning, you know, like from the warm-up to the game. Is that something you try to implement with all the teams that you've worked in at a senior level? And also working at a first team level, there is results, you know, it's a results business, but see when you've got players that might not buy into what you want, but they're good players, how do you try and change their mindset, or do you just stick to your values, your principles, and then the players have to go with what you're doing?
Yeah, interesting question, because in the end it's not so simple. There's a lot of complexity when you have to start a project at a professional level, and it's much better that you convince or seduce everybody in your line than trying to impose your ideas to the team or to the squad. But you know, football players, they really, if they are part of the process, if they are asked what do they like, what would they do, how would we build together a style of playing, a philosophy, I think this helps us a lot. Normally what I do, I go to a new club and I make a deep, detailed evaluation, diagnosis of their style of play, the squad, the quality of the players, their characteristics. I try to get as much as possible information from the club's culture, history, and this helps me to understand how far can I go. And then we have meetings, individual meetings, we have group meetings and team meetings that help us to build. Of course, I try to be taking them towards what I have in mind. But if I need to compromise something in order to obtain or reach something higher, I will do it, because in the end, players would have to be aligned or should be aligned with all these ideas, or at least main ideas towards a style of playing.
And we talk about style of play, you know, and culture. You know, everyone has mentors. Everyone looks at different coaches. You know, like we've got, you know, Guardiola, Klopp, but also you've got the Ferguson, you've got different coaches that are influence different ideas, but we love to steal ideas and make our own. But obviously you've been to a couple of countries, you know, where you've had to maybe adapt from the kind of the culture. But how do you try and get the best out of these players when you're the person who's come into their, you know, country, you're the kind of new person, you know, and how do you try and develop that? Is that through individual practices, that through having kind of team meetings, team bonding sessions where you can help, you know, the players? Or is it we're going to try and play a certain way, like a certain style of play, which is maybe aggressive but it's fun to watch, and therefore players kind of buy in just a little bit more? But again, some players will still struggle with that kind of new coach, new culture. How do you try and develop that kind of way of making the players that a little bit better, you know, to make them trust you that bit more? Because it is hard sometimes when you're into a new country.
Yeah, first of all, I face it this way. I will be going somewhere and I will have to be open to assess, not only assess, but to adapt. And obviously, I will try to see what can be the starting points of my intervention, and then we build everything together. Look, of course, I love to be dominant in the game. I want it to happen, because I still remember, and I tell my players my story. I still remember when I was a player, I was playing in first league in Portugal, and it really, really bothered me that we would face most of the games thinking that, well, the opponent is better than us, we will have to have a lower block, very compact, and be patient. whenever we would have the ball, then we would attack. But you know, if you go through periods like 1 minute, 2 minutes without touching the ball, and you have to press and shift to one side and then shift to another side, and you question yourself, am I enjoying this? You know? And I would rather being patient, having the ball, mastering the game, being dominant, playing closer to the opponent's goal, than being patient in a reactive way. You know, and I think it's not so difficult to convince players to go for the first option.
Yeah.
So, and when we start to build this, of course, we need to, there must be logic in all your ideas, in all your game idea, or at least the main principles of your game idea. You cannot press high and at the same time be very compact, because pressing high forces you to defend in bigger areas and with a lot of space in between and also behind your defensive line, and defending with a lower block, it's quite easier, because you reduce the spaces, and then it's not so easy for the opponent. But we choose to go the other way. Why? Because we are winners. We go for the winning. I don't play to lose. Well, I don't play to not lose,
yeah,
which is quite different. I play to win. And when dealing with this need to bring every component of our game flow together in a logical way, sometimes we need to, well, it's a must that we need to work on a detailed level, and then we need to eventually make line sessions or at least exercises for defensive line or attacking line or midfield line. Sometimes we go to the detail of the individual spectrum and we do exercises for individual players, because in the end, this is something that I normally do. Well, I've been doing it in the last years, is that I also look at the player as an individual, and I try to develop him, designing his own project. And it's something I do it in a co-ownership way. So it's not only about me. I have a vision for the player. I have, because I try to fit him in a collective context, but the player needs to fit himself also in the collective context, but he needs to know, you know, some players, they are not really aware of their own capacities. What are their main characteristics? How can they develop them? How can they fix, or how can they improve their improvement points? So I'm leading this process, and I help them to first to be aware of how does it look like performance for them, and mostly to take them in a journey to visualize how will look, how they will perform in the future. And this is quite interesting, because it's if every player believes that not only a player, but every element within a team area or space, they believe that people care about them, and they have space to grow and to improve, they will be ready to put an extra effort and eventually bring the team to a higher level of performance.
Yeah, Because I've only got a couple more questions, but this is interesting because you talked about the performance and the training and all that. But this comes, you can't do everything on your own. You need to have maybe a team of people around you, like coaches, analysis. Do you rely on, because it was interesting, because a couple of years ago, the ex-Celtic manager, Ange Postecoglou, he was obviously at Tottenham now, but he basically came himself from, you know, Japan to Scotland, and he basically didn't have a team around him. He had people who were at the club already, because he trusted them, or trusted that he could implement his style. Do you try and have a team of people around you, or do you try and have people at a club and delegate information to them so therefore they can try and use your style of play to use that? Because that takes a bit of a hard kind of mindset of like growth mindset of trusting people that you might not know too well. But again, that all comes from maybe speaking to them beforehand. Is that something you do, or do you have a team of people that you trust?
It's kind of both. Because, look, of course, you need to create, to build your own stuff aligned with your key ideas, looking at the game with the same lens. But it's not possible to go anywhere and you throw away all the, or you get rid of all the stuff, and you bring in another members for another stuff. And this is something that it's not so easy to do, because, well, first of all, clubs have their own structure, clubs that have their own way of doing things, and you need to merge your process with the club's process. Sometimes I take or keep a couple of elements, and I bring other members of the staff along with me. Because, look, it would be, in an ideal situation, I would have my staff and I would bring everybody and let's take charge of the job. But it's not so simple. Anyway, either way, I have to have, everybody needs to be on the same page, and we need to be tuned up in a way that everything goes smoothly. The more I think about this, and the more years pass, the less interventionist I am. I give space for people to do their job. Obviously, I supervise it, and normally it's an open space where people are free to interfere and intervene in a creative way, because I make sure that it is that way.
Yeah, and that comes from kind of mindset of having that kind of. My final question is on this mindset of yours of trust. Do you trust yourself to have when things go wrong, are you quite a calm person and think logically, or do you try and delegate more so therefore there's less pressure? And kind of second part of the question is the mindset when you're working at a higher level, you need to have that kind of growth mindset of success but also results. How do you try and combine everything to make a safe place, a workable place, but also a fun place? Because at the end of the day, if work's not fun, sometimes you're going to lose more than you win.
Yeah, it's clear for me that you need to lead by the example. And if I try to tell players and all the members of staff, take it easy, be calm. For example, we lost two matches in a row. Let's not panic. And if at the same time I'm shouting and I'm going everywhere, I will be a living hell for everybody. And I will not help the players to overcome this moment. And these moments are very common, more common than people think. Because even teams that play to win leagues, they go through moments like this. Sometimes more than one moment like this. It's within the spectrum of one season. You have highs, ups and downs, and players also. So I need to be balanced. I need to be I have to be, people need to expect a certain level of behavior from my side. And I like to create an environment where people are willing and desiring to learn, eager to win, and competition. It's about being better than the opponent. So we need to prepare ourselves. We need to be very demanding with everybody, but there are moments to release the pressure. There are moments where you put all your focus and all your energy, but there are moments that you have to be more calm, more confident, more you need to bring players to a safe ground, and being in a challenging environment does not have to be necessarily a nest of stress and shouting and a frantic place.
Yep. And I agree. It's all about trying to keep balance and calm, but that's the kind of world we're living. We need to just balance things. But no, thank you again for your time, Charles. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Okay. I hope this